Hello, welcome to the Small Gamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to 40K Thursdays. That's fucking right, hell. Nailed it. Absolutely. It's hard for me to not say stream streak at this point. If 40K Thursdays, it's ladies' night. We're joined by the famous at this point, Tom, the Predator Layton.
Oh, don't call me that. I work in a school.
Okay, Tom, I won't say his real name, Layton.
Thank you very much. That's much better.
And the newly elected leader, is that right? Captain, wise man of the Scottish WTC team. Innes Wilson, hello, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. How's everybody else?
Good. And then also Nick, some people call him Fit, but I always call him Fit.
I'm invisible today.
He's got 0% body fat. Also 0% body mass.
Yeah. Nick, is it true that you're actually slowly working your way into Games Workshop to try to get some of the new Necrons? And you're calling us from like a vent?
Yeah, that's why I can't appear on screen.
He's the imposter.
I give away my location.
He doesn't actually exist.
he doesn't, although you have got a picture appear now, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I've got a picture instead. Because basically, my webcam isn't working today, so I've got a picture on the previous stream.
Yeah, that's true, where we talked about Tufts. Thank you to the Big Goldfish for subscribing and to Scrivo. Big love to everyone in the chat for joining us today. Very excited to talk about Chaos Space Marines, which is going to be the subject of today. But before we do that, I'm obviously going to talk to all the guests, see how everyone is, and we're going to discuss possibly the greatest book to ever come out of Games Workshop. Hello, Mima. Should we start with our guest? Innes, how have you been? What you've been up to? You've been doing any hobby? How you been?
Yeah, I've not been too bad. We've just come off of a big tournament in Scotland, the only one that we're going to have for the next 66 to 10 business years. So we had a team tournament up here. My team managed to pull that out, so that was really good. I've been playing a bunch of Chaos recently, so I've been painting up Playburst Trawlers and my 30 Blight Haulers to try and adapt it a little bit to be a bit more tanky. So I've been magnetizing for the first time, which has been disgustingly terrifying. So yeah, it's been good.
All right, good. What was the team composition? Like, was it a 4-man team or a 6-man team?
So it was 3-man teams. We had Blood Angels, myself on Chaos Soup, and the previous Scottish captain on Iron Hands. So we just kind of abused people with Iron Hands, and then me and the Blood Angels pulled up the rear.
I think that's how it actually works in real life as well. I'm not sure. good. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Very excited to hear from you. I was wondering what film you were promoting, because you have done the podcast tour, and I didn't know what it was you were promoting, but it's wonderful to have you on. Have you been enjoying all your experiences on all the different shows?
It's been good. This is, I think, my third media appearance this week. The other two are fourth. Some of the other ones have yet to come out. I've actually been promoting my new dictatorship in Scotland, where nobody's able to take power off me anymore, as long as I don't want to give it up, because WTC is a trip.
Are you refusing to commit to a peaceful transition next year?
I can neither confirm nor deny whether I will ever be giving up power in Scotland now that I have it.
I mean, I don't know. Like, in Team Wales, what we've set up is something called Mugabe, which is where we just enforce the captaincy on the person who's going to complain the least about doing it.
I think that's why I have it too, yeah.
Yeah.
It was when Rob described me as an elected leader, and I'm like, I'm neither of those things.
I mean, you're also the only candidate, but that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. No one picked me. I picked myself, and no one else was willing to stand up for me.
Yeah, you won. So
perfect.
Someone voted for you. It wasn't zero votes.
No, it was zero votes.
All right, okay.
Right. Unless you count my own vote, I don't think you
There
do.
You go, you count your vote. That's one nail to you.
That'll do. That'll do.
It's still a win. Yep. Well, burn the ballots.
Ain't no win like a default win.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom, I see you're calling us from a library today. Where have you been?
Yeah.
What you been up to? How are you?
So here's what I've done this week. Mm-hmm. I have borrowed a base from work, so I'm learning that. I have watched a season of Chihaya Faru, and now I am into writing army lists. So that got me hyped. So I am now writing army lists, and that is why I'm in a library, because my word. I essentially, what I have been doing is we were going to play some games this week before Innes reminded me that he was free. And I was like, nice. Yeah, we'll have to skip that because we need to get Innes on. But I've been writing a list just to play with, because I want to use my Naked Custodes And I want to use these things, which are Cyclops demolition tanks.
Cutest things ever.
Yeah, they're very funny. I don't know if they're good, but they're very funny.
They're not.
They're not, but they're funny. So I'm going to use them. And I've been trying to write an Imperial soup list, and I am struggling to find all the sources. So essentially what I do is I go to goonhammer.com.
I go on the Games Workshop app, Tom?
I have. Unfortunately, I can't log in. So I'll have to leave that one well alone. So I go into their Start Competing articles, where it essentially lists all the rules you can take.
Yep.
So I actually spend far more CP than I should. So I've written my guard detachment. I've written my custodies detachment, and I'm just starting my space wolf one now. And I have 2 command points left.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's an appropriate starting CP. It's what my chaos list had as well. It's all you need. Just get good.
Yeah, you just funnel it as the game goes on, right? You get 5 more. It's perfectly fine. So I've spent like 1 on Captain Commander on a shield captain to give him +2 wounds. I spent 1 on Victor of the Blood Games. I spent 2 on giving...
Victor of the Blood Games cost 2 CP.
Fuck you, Nick. One left on.
One left on.
One CP left. It's okay. I can get that back by turning my Cadian detachment into a patrol. So that's fine if I need to.
Okay.
And then I've bought some tank aces. And then I've bought a weapons expert on a tank commander. And we're rocking with my 1 CP. Thank you, Innes.
You're welcome. I gotta say that I am ecstatic that you are no longer only hobbying. That there is at least one list being written by the Leighton. Because
it's not good. It's not a good list. It's just a list.
I thought it was Welsh that you can't actually play 40k until like 2 months before the WTC.
I mean, I'm not playing 40k. I'm just writing lists.
Okay, cool. We'll not send the word to Gaz yet then.
Excuse me. In the pandemic, writing lists is the real only way we actually play 40k now. That's the pretty much all with yourself, which I've seen you've got a real big potential now to play with yourself. You've developed some tools to help play with yourself.
I funded Ishik's extravagances by buying his terrain.
Yeah. Me so, too. We're so sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. It was quite cheap for what you get, actually. Like, I got like 4 big ruins, 4 medium ruins, 6 crates, a big square ruin, and then 2 more big square ruins.
So you're only like 20 crates short of a WTC board then.
That's okay. I couldn't actually fit the last 2 crates of the last 2 things on the board. So yeah, I thought it would be worthwhile rather than spending like $1,000 on the GW equivalent, right?
At least. Did they come prepaid?
That's a great segue,
not?
Rob. Yeah, they're like laser cut, but they're laser cut out of like this foam stuff, which has like printing on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You can also assemble it in a way which hides Ishik's logo inside the terrain.
On purpose. Is he logoed his terrain?
He's put logos on his terrain, but I'm using line of sight blocking terrain to block the logo.
Perfect. That we would never do that on any of our stuff.
Well, remember, the craters flip over and his logo's not on one side of the crater as well. So we knew that you might want to hide it.
I don't think I actually had the crater. I didn't buy that. I got the crates. You know, the like rectangle things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got that, but you can, like, the like panels for it have the logo on one side, but not the other, so you just turn it inside out.
I think you'll be over the moon about that. Thank you to Yes Meat Balls in the chat for subscribing, and to Dataless, who does say, I think tabletop wargamers have got a lot of experience playing with themselves. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. No, my favorite part is to film it and analyze it afterwards, is my general kind of, like, tactic.
That's Rob's
whole
strategy
live stream
with everything.
Yeah, whole live streams. Yeah, we live stream.
Onlyfans.com/TheHonestWarGamer.
Yeah. Perfect. Soon. Yeah. Soon.com. So,
film it and then review the footage.
Nick, we've had a question in the chat, which is curious to hear Nikos's frugal hammer approach to terrain. But before that, follow up. How's 40k been this week? I know you've played some. How's it been going?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, it's been good. I played my Eldar again. I loved that. I like my list. It's good fun. I think it's decent, and it's not too much of a stress to play. And I played a doubles game on Wednesday, which was fun. So we had Tyranids and Custodes versus Blood Angels and Orcs. How thematic is that?
Not.
Yeah. I just took some Meganobs and Tank Busters and a Chinook. And I had a good time.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. I haven't actually even thought about how the game would play in a doubles format. How do you find the new scenarios in the doubles format? And what did you do about secondaries?
Well, we just played a normal game. We just combined 2,000-point armies together. and just played them as if they were one force, and we didn't change anything, and it still worked fine.
Oh, that's good.
Just had an extra warlord each. That was it.
For all the bonus points. And I know you've also been painting up your Chrome Dar, but you've stopped that for a bit, right?
Yes, just because my hobby setup is a bit interfered with currently, just because of working from home. So once I can have a more clear hobby setup and I've got time to focus on it, I'll do it. But I'm not motivated to do it right now.
Okay.
But I'm loving playing with the army, so I 100% will finish that project.
That's good. I've done loads of bases, if anyone's interested, and we'll be putting my plague bearers on it. But also, I cracked open last night, but I haven't finished looking at it yet. I've started looking at all the Tzeentch demons that I own, which is quite a lot now for my Tzeentch force that I built for Age of Sigmar, and how they might play in 40k. So I'm pretty hyped for that, to run my bin chicken around and do some mortal wounds. But I am a little bit disappointed because my bin chicken looks disgusting. So I painted it up in this over the lockdown, and it's just not good. That's the only way to describe it.
If the paint scheme's disgusting, it'll match the rules at least.
Perfect. That's exactly what I want. I'm hoping flamers are good, but I don't
know. They are, yep. They were in the list that won Brisbane this weekend, so...
Yes, because I've got 15 of them and a bin chicken, and I reckon that's a good start. What about horrors? Pink horrors?
No.
Shit!
All you need is chicken. Is the chicken Kentucky Fried Demon and Exalted Flamers? All you need.
Oh, then I'm cooking with gas, baby, or flamers specifically. All right. Spleen Stabber, thanks for subscribing. Right, Corn Demon's next, says Undead Ben. You know it's not true, brother. That's never going to happen. Not one time.
Not if you want to win.
But maybe against like a fun list, that could be, and then I don't know. All right, so the news today, I'm going to read it out, and I'd like everyone's opinion about this. Games Workshop released the new, we already knew that it was coming out, right? This book about terrain. We already knew that this was going to be a thing. So 40K, bring your own terrain to the tournaments. So this is something that we've heard all about. I am going to read the article out for everyone, and then we will see. Make sure that it's the right one. We will see what everyone thinks. Did you guys actually, have any of you actually read the article?
Yeah, hell no, brother.
It is. What did you make of it?
I did briefly, yeah.
Well, I've still got a headache from reading it, if that helps.
That it does. Okay, so Tactical Deployment, which is the book that they're releasing, so Chapter Approved Tactical Deployment, don't mess around, allows you to bring 300 to 400 points worth of terrain. So terrain in this setup, you bring yourself, you pre-write it into a list. I assume that they have a list writer for this coming soon in the app, but I imagine also not. So some more list writing not done, that will be done via Battlescribe. And... you can effectively design the terrain around your own army. And then there are six new missions if you only pay 2,000 points. And there are also secondaries available as well in this, which you can take. So new missions. Okay, I'm going to just let everyone's... does anyone have any elongated thoughts other than this sucks?
Sucks balls.
This really sucks, but it sucks for a very specific reason of it's just introducing more ways to game the system. If my guard army shows up and just goes, oops, all craters, good luck. We're just going to have no terrain in my half of the board. I'm sorry. You can run at my ad mech as much as you like. You're not going to get here. Or I'll spend all my points on like LGT style Ls that are 9x9 and I'll go, all right, I have 45 death company behind here. I hope you don't go second.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to create interesting gameplay.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is either. But Nick, Tom, you got anything beyond that that you think?
Well, no, I think I definitely agree with what Innes just said. Like, they make it out like it's a match play experience and they've pointed things, so it's going to therefore balance because they've got, you know, points attached to things. But you are just going to see people tailor the terrain to their army and it's going to make it... I think it's going to make it more boring than actually balanced and exciting, because I think designing your army, because you're going to, if you're going to take the same terrain every game, you're going to have that, that's going to be in your plan for your army. Whereas it's much better, I think, to go to a tournament and you don't know what terrain you're going to run into, whether it's going to be heavy, medium or light. So you've got to plan accordingly or have a way to play on each style of board with your list. Whereas if you just go into a tournament and you know I'm going to have one big line of sight blocking terrain or two work and hide all my artillery behind and whatever that's really good for my army. I don't think it's, yeah, it's not going to make the game more balanced or exciting, I don't think.
Yeah, okay. So
I feel like it's just a vehicle for them to make people buy terrain.
Specifically their terrain. Because it's keyworded to their terrain. Okay, so like I'm with all of you, obviously. I'm just plant my flag straight in the ground. It's a terrible book, it's a terrible idea, and not a terrible idea. It's a terrible book, and it shouldn't be used in competitive play. However, much like you guys, when I read it yesterday or last night, I think it came out. Is that right? Maybe this morning. I read it, and I was like, okay, this is dumb. And then I stopped myself and I thought, let's just hit that out for a moment and let's actually read all the detail, which I did. And it is confusing and awkward. But as like a starting point, I think my actual answer is that I don't hate it and that it potentially is useful for new TOs. But also, it seems, whether it be balanced, not balanced, or generally terrible anyway, that they've at least put some work in. Which I think is quite interesting that they've pointed up terrain to some value. Like they're like, oh, it's worth like 300-400 points. You're like, okay, cool. Although I did love the range. It's like 300-400. And it's like, okay.
Like, is that? I'll bring 400 if I'm playing combat or 300 if I'm not. Cool. Yeah. That sounds fun.
Yeah, exactly. So there's some, and I think in his point, Nick's point are right, that you'll be able to game it quite well and then it'll make for uninteractive games because you're gaming it. However, like, it does give TOs the opportunity to, like, it's brought terrain into the conversation more, at least, I think. If they look through all of it, like, more ideas is better than no ideas is what I'm trying to say. And if it's not the right groundwork for how terrain could be done, it's at least part of a conversation about how terrain could be done from Games Workshop, which is, I think, at least deserves some credit. I think, again, don't buy the book, probably a terrible book, but I think their inclusion, that's the only thing, it's the one positive that I'm trying to get at that I saw in it, and I thought, actually, kind of cool that there's like special rules for these things and you could design it around that, and even it's got stratagems and, you know, I mean, how many times have we read extra D3 damage to a vehicle, to a building on like some data sheet or weapon, and we're like, well, that's just, it's useless and no one gives a shit. So making it a part of the convo. I don't know. Has anyone got any thoughts on that?
I think it's confusing. Like, well, I guess it's up to each TO to say that we are using this, because there's like secondaries and stuff in there. Like, are they legal all the time or only if that tournament says we're using this book?
I think it would just be that book, right?
Yeah.
I kind of just struggle with who it's for. Because if you're playing in like your mate's garage and you want to bring your own terrain, just bring your own terrain, put it on the board and play a normal game. Mm-hmm. Why do you need a specific set of secondaries for bring some terrain to this game or bring some terrain to a tournament?
Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm not sure what the point of it is.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think it also means that your garage games, if you will, it does give you the opportunity to mix them up a little bit, because you might not play bring your own terrain. You just set your own terrain up, but then you go, well, let's play this secondary. Well, let's play this mission and these secondaries from this other book. So some new missions, which is cool, and they're designed effectively competitively, right? They're the same. They're not the same missions as the generals. Not, fuck's sake. Chapter approved, so they're not the same missions as that. They're different six missions with some different secondaries as well. So if you wanted a different game mode to switch it up, you could do, and I think that that's fun. But I don't have loads of positives. I just didn't like. I knee jerked and I caught myself doing it, so I stopped myself and I just read it fully. And I thought, okay, this doesn't make tons of sense, but I think it might be a good part of the conversation about terrain, because I feel, Nick, Tom, and Innes, question to you, that the conversation about terrain is still ongoing. Like, we saw the WTC updated their terrain pack as of yesterday?
Yeah, it went out live this morning.
Okay, so, like, I mean, that's a pretty significant... Like, aren't we all... Are we all just running off that? I feel like that's what we're all running off, or am I wrong?
I feel like it's what a lot of people are running off of, but big events in, like, the States and things like that are running significantly less terrain from conversations I've had. People will always do their own thing. You're never going to get everybody on standardized terrain because it requires everybody to make the same terrain, and heavier boards are expensive. It's ultimately what it comes down to, which means that you won't see it at every tournament.
That's true. That's a good point. Like Yesterday Balls was saying in the chat, another positive, however crappy this is, it draws attention to the fact that TOs have to generate ungodly amounts of terrain and reminds players that if you want to build tournament scene, you've got to get a finger out and make some terrain for it as well. Which is also, like, maybe they've noticed some sort of, like, production problem. I doubt that that's the case. I think it's just a cash grab. But, like, there is a production problem in creating that volume of terrain in events around the world, right? Like you said, in Northern America, you generally have less terrain. So that means that their meta is significantly different to the meta that occurs in Europe or even in Australia, where I assume they don't use terrain and they just use live animals on the tabletop. I'm not sure if that's the case, but that's what I heard.
I have no proof that that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Therefore, we should assume that it is true.
I know it's not. I know I've blown this up into a bigger news article than it is. We could just said this is crap and move on. But I think there's a bit more to it, right?
Yeah, it's just kind of a case of, it feels like it's two separate things. It's a terrain set. It's a set of rules aimed at getting you to bring terrain to the boards. And then it's also a mission pack that sort of revolves around terrain. And I don't see why they were bundled together and then sold as if it's the same thing. You can write missions that are dependent on terrain, like Cities of Death or anything like that. That's fine. And then you can say, guys, if you want to help your TO out, bring some terrain to the event. They didn't need to be the same thing. And I think it's been bundled as the same thing, and people have jumped on that a little too much.
Yeah, and like Alan Drill said in the chat, mission packs are a fundamental new approach they are taking to 9th Ed. And I think people aren't wrapping their heads around that. And I do think that that's the case. I think we might see, like, a variety of mission packs, because there's as many missions for not 2,000 points as there are for 2,000 points, you know? So, like, for the different points values, the different types of game. So there is that granularity in, and yeah, I feel like having that conversation around the same game, the same set of terrain would be really, really valuable. But it's also like, do I want to go to, like, a bunch of 1,000-point events for a few days, ignoring COVID? There are tight match play games designed, in air quotes, for that particular purpose, which is cool. So you would hope that those... I don't know if anyone... Has anyone played? Any of you three played the 1,000-point missions? Do we know?
No. There are 1,000-point... I played one of them by mistake because we didn't realize there were two sets of missions the first time we played them. So I have played one 1,000-point mission at 2,000 points.
Well, there are three sets of missions. There's also two and a half.
I don't really feel there's not much difference because it's just a way you set the objectives up, the deployment maps, and there's only so many variations on that you can actually do. And the only real difference is the secondary, and I don't think that's going to... I don't really see how a secondary can... Yeah, I don't really see how a secondary can be different at 1,000 points or 2,000 points, really.
Yeah, well, there are them, but I don't know if anyone has them. So, or has played them, but maybe they're good, but also they should really, I guess it's chicken egg, right? If they don't make, no one asked for them, but if they don't make them, Thermatology, thank you for subscribing. If they don't make them, then no one's going to start the tournament scene for the 1,000-point meta, you know, and maybe that'll be a thing that people all love. Is there a quick question? Sorry about that before we get on. Do you guys, have you ever played smaller points games, and have you experienced or enjoyed them at all?
We have a 1250 tournament up here, or we used to. It's not run in like a year, but for obvious reasons, where we play four games at 1250 in a day. And that was normally pretty fun. It's very different. You tend to just see the same list scaled down and pulled apart because we're 2,000 point players playing a 1250 tournament. I'm sure if you were playing 1,000 points or 1,200 points or 1,500 points a lot, you would see its own meta develop. But just because everybody plays 2,000 points, there's not that conversation about it. Mm. So designing around it feels more like just pick something broken and focus on that rather than like actually designing a list, which is not the way to approach it. But it's the quick and easy way to do it when you've got 15 minutes to prep for a tournament you don't care about as much.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we did have, because obviously I work in a school and I run the Warhammer Club there, in 8th edition, before they changed the pack, the school league was just 600-point games. Mm-hmm. So I was going to lend all the kids just Mortarians with Warp Time guys and then just send them lobbing them at people, because you don't need to actually do anything. You just take the Mortarian and you throw it at your opponent with Warp Time.
But does that not hard lose to Magnus, who does it himself and can run 100?
Right, so when I run out of Mortarians,
see,
I just
that's the meta.
Yeah.
See, but now you've invented the meta.
So you know those like those little the mats that Games Workshop have, where you were meant to have like four of them and they'd make a 60x44 board. You just played school league games on one of those. So Mortarian just sits in the center and he's basically just farting on the entire board.
Yeah.
And also, when you reduce a points cost, durable units like that become more useful because you run out of things.
I think you've invented a meta. I think you've invented torture for 12-year-olds.
Yeah, no, 11-year-olds. Thank you. Come on.
So fun for 11-year-olds.
Sorry, I was rather for life.
Yeah, is your school just playing Super Smash Brothers? Is that what you're playing, but with Warhammer models?
Listen, we're not like a great sporting school. We've got to be good at something, so I'm just going to give them Mortarians and Magnuses and claim we're good at it.
And like Alan Durrell saying in the chat, things that would just be chaff for 2,000 points maybe become more relevant and important in 1,000 points. Yes, dude, our day, I know I'm talking about a skirmisher game, and Thermatology says, I wish Meat and Engagements was more popular. That would definitely have its own merits in Age of Sigmar, and we all know how I responded to that emotionally, which was strongly and in the negative. So, however, maybe they're fun. So I'm just playing devil's advocate in that situation. It's interesting that Wargamers were like we got given the choice. They're like, you can all play 1,000 points, have quicker games, have more games, spend less money on your armies, and everyone went, nah, fuck you. Like,
yeah, look, I bought these toys. I want to play with them. Okay.
Yeah. Or I plan to buy so many more toys and paint them all up, which I hate, and then play with them in this 2,000 point
games. Just don't seem as satisfying as a 2,000 points.
Isn't it because we all like, no matter how cerebral we take the game, no matter how much we get out of our out of what the game is, like. I still think of it as like little soldiers, like, and I want more soldiers in my army and less soldiers in my army.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't want to be a captain. I want to be a fucking general.
Yeah, so just don't play Marines and play with more soldiers. Obviously,
I don't think I have enough CP to do my pregame spend if I have to start with 3 instead of 12 or 6 instead of 12. I don't think I can fundamentally do that.
You just told us you played a list with 0 CP or whatever. Was it?
Yeah,
two?
But that was because I spent 10 pregame. If I can't do that, well, what's the point?
I'm telling you right now, I've just spent my 12 CP.
Okay, well done.
On my list.
Yeah, your list won't be the same with the CP spends either. Different approach. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. I don't want to learn new things. I want to do the same thing I've always been doing.
All right, well, I think we put that story to bed. Has anyone seen any of the stories from the week before we move on to the main subject of the show? Anything they would like to bring up about the 40k environment?
Horde Nits did well at a tournament, and I'm still scared that I have to paint more gaunts if I want to play Terranids.
When fourth is, well, low.
Fourth is still
fine.
They came third,
thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, so Tyranids, but in a horde. Because, Tom, obviously you were pro 500 grots and then you were anti.
No, I was pro 400 grots until I played it and realized it was shit. And now I'm anti 400 grots.
But are you now pro 400 termagants?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's what did well at the weekend, right?
Yeah, I went and counted mine. I've only got 60, so I'm only like 10 boxes of gaunts short.
Do you want to borrow some
195 painted gaunts short.
I've got about 200. Do you want to borrow them?
I don't want to borrow anything. I hate borrowing 40k stuff. I'm going to go
just,
buy.
I want to spend my money and sell
it. Exactly.
Rich boy over here.
Yeah, well, I just want to be painted in the right color scheme.
I personally think you could probably green stuff that many of them because they kind of just look like little blobs, can't you? I don't think that would be too hard to make.
I'm going
to
make them out of clay, you know.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. And Scrivo now owns 400 crops for nothing because he was listening to your advice, Tom.
And looters.
That's okay. To be fair, the looter one was correct. I've told him that I can just lie to everybody and tell them that they're good again, and hopefully the eBay stonks bump back up again and you can sell them.
That's the plan. That's the plan. Innis, on your podcast talk, you just keep saying that Gretchen are super good.
Yeah, Grots are broken. Buy them on eBay to drive up Tom's stock prices. Yep. It's just insider trade 40K.
Yep. It's like the RuneScape stock market. It's fantastic.
I mean, insider trading in 40K is the done thing. That you're like, what size are the mats going to be? It's like, we don't know, but we're selling all of our mats at the end of this LVO.
They're super cheap. Why are you trying to offload them really cheap? I don't know. It's like a sale. You know.
You just want to do like new mats. Yeah?
It's nice when you've got a bunch of playtesters on Facebook and you can see what they're buying in the buy-sell trade groups.
Legit, that is one way that you just count the meta. It's like, come on, what are they selling?
what are they buying? I was like buying stock of Bolt Rifle Intercessors about a month before the Codex dropped, and I was like, I wonder what's happening there.
Maybe we should invest.
I honestly think there's genuinely a market there. If you was like savvy enough and had enough expendable cash, you could just push all of the anyway, you could insider trade in a big way, in my opinion. Right, okay, yeah,
playtesting converged, no advantage for playtesting.
In fact, it's a disadvantage, I'd have you know.
In fact,
except for your wallet. Your wallet will be very advantaged.
All right, on to the main subject of the show today, which is Chaos Space Marines. And are we talking just the core Chaos book, not Death Guard or Thousand Suns, right? Just Chaos Marines. I really hope so,
because I don't have notes for the other two.
I think
it'd be too much if we tried to cover all of Chaos. I mean, Chaos traditionally soup anyway, so I think they'll creep in at times, maybe. But I think today we're just focusing on that one book.
Okay. All right, so we're going to use our classic rolls system to review the book, which, Innis, you got sent a copy of that earlier, and I know you've done some notes on.
Yep.
How did you... Have you gone through that process before, and how did you find it?
Like, I had not gone through it before, but I had seen it on a couple of previous shows, so I had a basic idea of it. Going through it, there was a couple of things that I was like, I wonder where this is, that's like what unit this would fall into. And then I was like, I'll just stick it in the upper category, it's fine. It makes sense as a very rough way to break things down.
Okay. Oh, I thought it was such a detailed way of breaking things down. I didn't know a more detailed way that's been made. So now I'm upset.
Units don't fit perfectly into single categories is more what I'm going at.
Yeah.
But it works as I can say, I'm looking at units with roles and I'm like, this role isn't quite exactly what you're saying there, but it's close enough that I'll just stick it in. But that's with weird units that have very odd roles that Chaos has a tendency to have. So no, don't take that as a criticism on your system.
It's fine.
Take that as criticism on Chaos for being weird.
I don't know what the system's ever going to be called, like the Rona Roll Manager. We're working on a name.
Please don't ever play 40K like that. Yeah, don't.
I can't call it like the Shark System. How's that?
Fine. Yeah.
Sure.
No.
Well, no. Nick, you've named it now. You can't unname it.
Yeah, Nick. Have you got a name for the system or?
I've not thought of anyone yet.
No, I want to go for something
don't
weaker than a shark,
things.
Like badger or honey badger.
Honey badgers are powerful, dude.
Honey badger. Yeah. Speckles this killed a badger the other day.
The Gretchen system.
The Gretchen system. Perfect. All right.
Speckles killing a badger is more than he's ever killed on the tabletop, so that's all right.
That's true. Apart from he's beat me, so and you have to admit that every time. Have to admit it.
You must be playing one of those games where you guys must be playing that game where you can win without actually killing a model.
Yeah.
You mean ninth?
Yeah. That's the one.
All right. So let's talk about it. And Tom, have you got the rolls sheet open?
No. I can get it though.
That'd be cool. It'd be fun. Or Nick, have you got it maybe? It'd be fun for any of you to maybe take us through the process. I could. I just would be interested to hear you guys maybe try it. Shall I just play? I'll play the role as ringleader. I'll start. Yeah,
you do it.
I'll start. Okay, so there are different categories, obviously, that units can fall into. You've got things that can grab objectives. You've got counter punches. It's an interesting... have you guys got like a top-down or your first top-down thoughts on Chaos Marines, generally? Any like...
Chaos... Yeah, so Chaos Space Marines are kind of a bunch of different armies that are tied together with a common unit set. So an Alpha Legion army is going to play very differently to a World Eaters army, is going to play very differently to a Chaos Soup army, right? And the things that are good in each different category are going to depend very much on what specific faction you're playing, right? Something that's a countercharge unit for one faction might be like a glass cannon unit for another one. And that makes it very important to talk about context with specific units, in that their roles change very significantly depending on what their faction bonuses are, or even what relics they have access to, because they're functionally as different as Space Wolves and Space Marines, right? There's no, other than the common unit set, they don't very much share stratagems or anything like that. So I think it's just important to make sure that you're looking, when you're looking at Chaos Space Marines, look at it from a perspective of what faction you're looking to play, rather than holistically.
I mean that works generally for most of these things as well. That's why I feel like it's incredibly hard to bury down into units in particular. And it's more like the stuff that exists on their data sheet, all the buffs you can give them, they generally tend to like skew into. I know for instance, some units, you can give them one set of buffs and they go one way, and another set of buffs, they go another way. But they generally tend to skew hard into effective, which is what you see on the tabletop, in normally one way, is generally what I think I see anyway. All right, so we'll talk about the different types of units. And I guess probably the first thing to talk about is the damage dealers, which is always the thing that you see in there. So I guess the two real damage dealers that I think about are anti-horde and anti-heavy, so vehicles. But I guess the anti-medium is always orientated around Marines. And with so many Marines being in the meta all the time of different flavors, I guess, which one of those would you guys like to take? And which one do you think that they do the best, Chaos Marines? Or do you think they can do them all as well as anyone else? Tom, thoughts?
Sorry, Rob, I was just like checking
it,
some
it
rules.
It is, you're up.
I was checking some
so
rules.
So I think Chaos fit into a really good thing. They're good at killing very much mid-range stuff, so their Marine killing tools are pretty strong, but they don't have the volume to kill through like 200 gaunts or some of that without intense combat stuff, which, yeah, they can do. And then their anti-heavy stuff tends to be very restricted to combat as well. But their ranged output is very good at killing Marines. So you've got stuff like Obliterators that can kill Marines pretty reliably, because if you roll a 2 or a 3 on the damage, they're going to be going through them. And then things like Forge Fiends or Lord of Skulls have a lot of multi-damage, which they're quite good at killing, but they don't really hit that toughness. Toughness 8 is quite a difficult threshold for them to hit, and they just don't have that volume at range to deal with your massed guard armies or anything like that.
So you think that they do nothing the best, is what Ixtab is saying in the chat. So you think that they do the mid-range, sort of the Marine area well, but they struggle towards the more polarizing ends of a lot of elite infantry, a lot of elite vehicles, or a lot of massed horde is a general problem.
Yeah, unless you're playing a very much like a combat list that skews towards that, or you're using Noise Marines for horde clearing, because they will do that, but Noise Marines kill everything in the game. Mm-hmm. You tend to see them skew towards the middle, and then they try their best to get to either end, and they hope that they've got enough to push through it, plus their combat output, because they're still Space Marines in combat, right? You're still looking at 2 or 3 attacks a guy, more if you're using things like Khorne Berserkers. But yeah, they're very reliant on getting there to deal with the more skewed end of the list, whereas they can deal with Marines at range if you build for it.
Okay, all right. Nick, have you got any shout-outs for damage dealers in the book?
Well, Innes mentioned, obviously, the Noise Marines, and they're just a horrific combo, which kills pretty much anything. I think maybe the Disco Lord. I think you can get quite a lot of attacks on him, and you can do if you give him more like a Warlord trait, Flames of Spite, you get a Mortal Wounds at a 6+, and if you've got a lot of attacks, that can be quite good. And you're generating extra attacks as well, I think, with the Disco Lord as well. But my favourite damage dealer has got to be the Khorne Berserkers. I particularly like them in Renegade chapters where you can run and charge, because the classic Chaos Psychic Power of Warp Time, so you can move twice. So if you can run and charge with Warp Time, you can cover a lot of the board. And that's even better now with the smaller boards, with the armies being more compact, because people can't hide as much from you. And you generally know where they're going to necessarily want to put troops with the objectives being fixed, so you can kind of maybe plan for a turn one or turn two charge with your berserkers. But then maybe they're good now in the World Eaters Legion, because they become troops, so they're not only going and fighting people on objectives, but they're also providing that objective secured, taking objectives from people and holding them for yourself as well.
So
Derridiers as well as a good shout for Chaos. Chaos Derridiers are pretty good because they give you access to some artillery. So shooting out a line of sight with their Havoc launchers on top. And they're just Butcher Cannons are just generally pretty good as well.
Yes. Yeah, Relic Whirlwind Scorpiuses and Hellforge Scorpiuses and Contemptive Dreadnoughts are good options for that as well, with the Strength 6 indirect fire from the Scorpius or just Quad Las Cannons on the Contemptors are a good way to get that ranged output that they kind of lack in the core book.
Which are, like, but they're still hitting into the mid-range targets, right? They're hitting into your Marines, maybe
Quad Las. A Quad Las Contemptor is going to kill, like, most vehicles, right? Hitting on twos. Yeah.
That's true.
But, yeah, the Scorpius is definitely hitting more into that mid-range stuff, but it's doing it at range and very reliably, which is something Chaos sometimes struggle with if you're not willing to sink CP into it.
Yeah, it's interesting that Las that you just talked about. That's good. It seems like that's an option. Do Chaos Space Marine book generally not try to focus into the vehicles? Are they just like, we'll ignore vehicles if we can help it and then just move into other strengths? That seems like a good option.
Can I go?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so my normal thing with this is, with Chaos specifically, I haven't played them since 2015. And generally, as most of you guys know, my rules knowledge is pretty terrible. And with Chaos, it specifically is terrible. Like, when I went to Belgium, I was playing alongside Nathan and his Chaos Soup list, which had like three different Chaos Space Marine Legions in it. And I had no idea what it did because I just don't know Chaos that well. And that even applies to specifically for Forge World stuff. But when I think of Chaos, I think of things that are based around vehicles. For example, in 8th edition, you started with the Plague Burst Crawlers. Towards the end of 8th edition, it wasn't so much vehicle-based, but you had the Possessed, and they were being screened off by the durable, the Disco Lords. And then now, at the start of 9th, I've just gone to events just to watch lists, and I've seen like Mike Porter running around with Defilers and the Miphitic Playholders and stuff like that with the Feel No Pain. So they often
those are all Death Guard units.
It's okay. There's still Chaos. It's fine. The Defilers aren't Death Guard units. You are, right?
They are when they have Feel No Pain. Speaking specifically of Possessed, though, if you want a fun Chaos list right now, Creations of Bile, 60 Khorne Possessed is the way to go.
Okay.
Because they can use a strat to advance and charge. You can warp time them, and they still double fight. And then you can buff them with like plus one strength or plus one attack with Bile at the start of the turn. And then you just can fire off these Gene Stealer slingshots because I think the average threat range is like 30 inches. It's ridiculously hilarious.
That's even really when fun. You're not playing kids, you found a way to make a nid list.
Yeah, of course. And then you can block them up with like Cursed Earth for 4-up and vulnerable save, and then that's 80 wounds with a 4-up and vulnerable save.
Oh my god, it's like playing Flamers again.
Yeah, it's great.
Not Flamers, sorry, Brimstone Horrors. That's what I mean. Brimstone Horrors, when they were all out there.
Except the Brimstone Horrors punch you really hard.
That's fun. So, Tom, you're not like au fait with the damage dealers inside this book.
It's mainly because Chaos are one of those factions where, like Imperium, right? You can soup a lot with Imperium because you've got one of those keywords that's common across multiple books, right? Chaos are very, very similar, except I'm just not as familiar with them because I feel like they're very much full of tricks and combos rather than just being Imperium, where I'm just going to spam the same troops choice over and over again.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
And then have some characters that do some things.
So, I guess the question is then, with there's some good options there. Like, seems like we've got some anti-vehicle, and it seems like we've got a lot of anti-marine. Is there any options really for anti-horde, like that's inside the book? For I know you don't just do that job, but if you want,
I think anything with the Slaanesh keyword, because you can shoot twice, is going to be anti-horde. Yeah. You can have 20 Chaos Marines with bolters, and you can have two Reaper chain cannons in there shooting twice. That's a lot of shots. Or all the Noise Marines, which can have like 108 shots when you're shooting twice.
120 strength 5, damage 2 with plus 1 to wound, and full rerolls to wound if you want it in Emperor's Children. They kill most things.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous unit.
You can do Reaper Chain Cannons with Havocs. They're pretty useful. That's 64 shots in Slaanesh, strength heavy bolter, basically. And then you've got things like Chaos Terminators with Combi Plasma and Bolter. And with the new Combi Flamer rules, when they go up to 12-inch range, that might be an option too, because you can fire the Bolter and the Combi Flamer and not take the -1 to hit on the Combi Flamer. And then there's Slaanesh double fire as well. So they've got a few options at range, but they tend to be shorter ranged or quite expensive, or again, reliant on combat, which just means they don't have the thing like Aggressors that just picks up whatever it looks at, like, horde-wise. They have to work for it or spend CP on it, which is the issue with Chaos, is that a lot of their really high damaging stuff is CP depend is very expensive or CP costly.
Okay. All right. So with that being the case, then, like, because so it's not that they can't do it, it's that it costs too much resource to create the effect effectively.
It's that, yeah, you have that opportunity cost of, if I'm killing hordes, I'm not getting to do all my cool combat tricks, or I'm not getting the survivability that I need from things like conceal and affleeching to hide away from things. It's very much the opportunity cost of using all those CP on your Reaper Chain Cannons is you're not double firing your obliterators, or you're not double firing your terminators that are doing other things as well. Because okay. all their stratagems are, if you want to make a unit really sing, you've got to spend the plus one to wound and the double fire, and you can only do that on one unit. And if you've got three or four different things you need to deal with, are the hordes really the priority?
Mm-hmm. That's true. I guess it's working out what the army does well. And it seems like from the Twitch chat and what you guys are saying, it can do, it does have units that can do, so the Chaos Space Marine book has units that can do anything well if you put a spec into it enough, but it doesn't seem to be the strengths, or is that not normally what we see taken and put into effect?
It's just kind of the Chaos Space Marines are in this weird space right now where they're best played as support for the other two books because Thousand Suns and Death Guard just do it better at the moment. It's not so much that Chaos Space Marines are bad, it's just that the Death Guard are probably one of the best armies in the game right now, so just support them instead because it costs you nothing. It's not really a commentary on the Space Marine book itself.
Okay.
And I feel like, are they bad because just Thousand Suns and Death Guard just sit on objectives way better than they do? Or yeah. is it, yeah.
Like, you can play Spawn and stuff like that in Chaos Space Marines, but just play Death Guard or Thousand Suns one and get more options is kind of where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So start off with better and then get better, as opposed to just build to the baseline of another book. Okay, well, talking about, I mean, they don't, that's the damage dealing. Has anyone got any more damage dealing things they want to talk about before we move on?
Lords of Skulls still exist. They are still terrifying, but they do cost a lot of CP to do now, pre-game. So you're probably going to see it less just because it's less flexible than it was. But at the end of 8th edition, that list was terrifying.
I mean, also, they're really good into things like knights, I feel.
Which
don't exist, yeah.
Yeah. And if you're sat at home wondering, what do they mean by they don't exist? What they mean is they're not competitively advantageous enough that someone would pick them up unless they have named all of their knights and they have, like, little miniatures that they've painted with, like, the rider and it's super serious and maybe they bring a flag with them, that sort of thing. Like, they don't exist.
Or you're just at the event of faction knights.
Sorry, what did you say?
You go in this. You had a different point.
If they're just at the event to drink and they want their games done in an hour, they might still play knights.
Perfect. And I said, if you want to get best in faction knights on the ITC,
yeah, that's another one. That's another one.
The only two reasons to play knights.
Yeah.
So then, but as we know, you can play 9th edition and not even kill a model to win the game. And that's normally done by holding objectives. So the way we talk about this is by having units that block either aggressively or defensively. So an aggressive blocking unit, obviously, famously, Nurglings hold units back from being able to move forward. Or Storm Boys are the other example as well. Like they move across the board, control board space, and generally get in your face is aggressive blocking. And then there's also defensive blocking, which generally is sit on an objective and hold stuff or screen out and protect your stuff from getting hit by maybe an alpha or something.
Can I just have a really quick segue to talk about something I just learned?
Yeah, go for it.
There's something in Guard called a Sentinel Power Lifter, and I need one.
Why did you just learn that when we were doing this discussion?
It's okay, carry on. Don't worry about it. Right, I was scrolling through the store.
I actually experimented with those in my GC at the start because they get the power fists and they can be plus one to hit with the Primus. So that was legitimately a thing I looked at. Not anymore though. They're terrible. Don't do it.
Well, the new Forge World book is out soon, which is an exciting time for us all, right?
No.
Define exciting.
I'm excited. Nick, are you excited?
Yeah, I can't wait to see how they fuck over Leviathan Dreadnoughts.
Yeah, oh my god, they're gonna like absolutely. Listen, if you want some stocks, sell them right now. Sell hard.
Sell.
Yeah.
Buy Super Chickens, it can't get any worse.
We should 100% do like a stock show for ages, for both of the game systems. Oh, Innes, thanks for subscribing while on the show. The baller move.
Just me and Innes just saying fuck Forge World in the chat.
Well, I'm excited. All right, so Tom or Nick or Innes, but Tom, we'll start with you. Blocking, defensive blocking, aggressive blocking. Which one would you like to start with?
I mean, you can just use the Disco Lords, right? We can start with the aggressive blocking because you just push them up and you end up using the... it's Death Guard again, right? Is it? What did you use to keep the possessed from being shot at?
Alpha Legion, conceal.
Okay, so that is that's not a Death Guard thing.
It is also a Death Guard thing, but Death Guard can't do the 5 of Feeling okay. Pain, so Alpha Legion's one is kind of better for possessed, yeah.
Okay, there you go. So you just end up using things like the Disco Lords and other durable units to just screen out so that you can take advantage of stratagems like that that allow you to just protect one unit, right? Especially if you're building around one thing.
Could you just remind everyone of what the stratagem does?
So conceal prevents you from being able to target a unit unless it is the closest unit to the enemy. So what you do is you take like a pretty point sufficient unit that's quite hard to kill, like an Alpha Legion Disco Lord, which previously was -4. Obviously, you can't get that. And then you shove it into your opponent's face and say, well, remove this toughness 6, 2+ save, bad boy. Yeah, you can't remove it. So therefore, you just can't target the unit behind it either.
Okay. Good.
So you can traditionally see that used with either Possessed, which would hide and be running on the board, or Obliterators, because you could deep strike in, and because you use the stratagem in your opponent's shooting phase, you would get 2 turns of shooting guaranteed for 1 CP out of Obliterators, which normally tend to be priority targets.
Yeah, and that would be effectively 4 as well, because you end up giving him Slaanesh, so you can use Endless Cacophony to fire twice.
Yeah, you get all the damage output CP stuck in there as well, but it's 1 CP to keep them alive another turn is the key. But yeah, you can still do it. You just put things like Cultists or Chaos Spawn in front of them. Chaos Spawn are actually my pick for the aggressive blocking unit because they are significantly underpointed for what they do. They're 23 points for a toughness 5, 4 wound model. And then they take buffs really well because they go in squads of 5. So in Slaanesh, you can give them the 5 up Feel No Pain. In Tzeentch, you can give them a 5 invulnerable save. You can use the 5 invulnerable save from Illusory Supplication, which is one of the Dark Apostle powers. If they're wholly within 6, you can get a lot of defensive buffs on this unit that's very cheap. Movement 7, you can warp time it, go and stand in front of your opponent's army. It's a massive space they block off, while being harder to kill than 110 points would suggest. Like, that's 5 intercessors, and they take way more firepower than 5 intercessors.
Yeah, I feel like Spawn are one of those units that flip-flop between being horrifically underpointed and horrifically useless every other edition. Like, they were really, really strong in, like, 6th as well. And 7th to a degree, because it was like when Screamer Star was running around, you just take Spawn, just run it at Screamer Star, and you'd sit there for 3 turns. It's just like, well, that's like 100 points of my army. 144 specifically for like 4 Spawn, and you weren't shifting it. It was like insane. They were such good value, and they are again now.
Yeah. So right now, Spawn are one of the best units in Death Guard as well, and they're really good in Thousand Suns. There is very little excuse not to put them in. Even just single Spawn or 23-point objective holders, you can't go wrong with Spawn
right
now.
It's like 2 Servitors for 1 Spawn. Okay. That's the same points. It's 12 points of Servitor.
So we're taking Spawn to do aggressive blocking in large groups and then buffing them up, or we're just sticking them at the back of the board as single ones, maybe for some defensive blocking for holding objectives.
Yep. It's not like you're using your fast attack slots anyway. You're playing Chaos.
I mean, they are a bit slow. That's why they turn traitor. But that's neither here nor there. Although I feel I'm more of a Chaos player than an Imperium player anyway. Okay, so what other aggressive units do we have for aggressive blocking?
I have a shout out.
Yeah, go for it.
So I don't think it's probably as good as the Spawn for like resiliency, but maybe it might be in the near future. So a unit that I like to do for aggressive blocking is just a big unit of 20 Chaos Space Marines with chain swords. Make them Red Corsairs or just generic Renegade, so they can run and charge, and you do the warp time thing. So you move 6 with a run, and then you move 6 with a run. So you go in like 12. You go in about 18 inches, and then you make them corn. You can give them the corn banner, so they can reroll the charge. So you just do the double move, and you charge something. You don't necessarily have to charge anything that scary, just something crap, because the charge move is just to get that extra movement with those 20 dudes. So it's a big unit. You can spread out, and you can pin your opponent in. Because you can generally get a turn 1 charge probably with that unit. So it's just like a big block of dudes that won't put up that much of a fight or do that much damage, but they'll at least sort of block, pin someone in as long as they can't fly over you.
Can I ask a question? Do you physically have to be standing in the way to be blocking? Because but with that, instead of just using the warp time thing, you could just end up by using the Tide of Traitors equivalent for Red Core Status to take that unit and just stick it behind your opponent and just say, hey, well, you've got to deal with this, otherwise it's just going to cause you issues by just sticking it really close.
Yeah, I think I think some of the game right now is, you know, if you look at some of the missions, some of those objectives, primaries specifically, are in your deployment-ish or close enough that, like, threatening someone's back lines, you threaten their backline units, but you also threaten their backline objectives if they push aggressively forward and just leave stuff to come in and deep strike at the back, I think. So blocking doesn't necessarily mean you physically block in the way. It's more aggressive movement versus defensive movement to control board space.
It's also threat projection, right? You can't stand on this objective because I will kill you if you do, is also blocking. There are another couple of things that I want to shout out. Heldrakes are really good for this because they are flyers, but they're not aircraft, which means you can't walk under their bases. So they're quite good at standing in front of you. If you're running them as like Night Lords, you can do things like turning off auras or stopping units from being able to... I think there's something else you can do, but I don't really remember the point. And then cultists as well, with Tide of Traitors, are good at just getting places and being annoying, or also just holding your backfield. Specifically in Emperor's Children, with Tide of Traitors and then Honor the Prince, which lets you change one of your charge dice to a six, they're very good at just hitting something from reserve and grabbing an objective your opponent thought was safe, almost guaranteed, which is not pleasant for some armies.
Because
if they've got like five space marines still on a backfield objective, it's going to take them a while to chew through 30 cultists, even with the shock assault attacks that they won't be getting in future turns. So it's a really nice option for just grabbing objectives in the late game.
That's fun.
Or standing in front of your opponent's army. Like, you charge something on the side, auto make a six. If you roll like a 4+ on the other dice, you get 10 inches of movement, pile in consolidation. You can wrap that cultist squad in front of most of their army and block them from getting onto objectives very easily. And you can do it turn one because it's a redeploy, not a reserve mechanic.
Wow. And that's super strong, because their ability to not move out of those backfield, like onto those lines, means they're not going to be able to jump on to those center objectives. I do wonder at the moment how many people have even really got their armies ready for that sort of stuff. I know cultists have been and were a very taken unit in the last edition, so I don't think it's much of an issue that they're ready to go. But some of the other elements that we've seen in armies, I think the way that you play the primary has changed significantly. And so, like, the idea with spawn, for instance, I don't imagine we would have had loads of spawn knocking around, did we?
Nobody had spawn. Nobody had Beast of Nurgle.
No. Nobody had a model either, because it's so expensive and awful.
Yeah, but now Beast of Nurgle, spawn, also Nurglings. So I still think it's going to take a while for like these aggressive blocking units to maybe get produced and put on the tabletop in the near future. So whether or not some of those is going to exist.
I mean, they're so going away when the Chaos Demons and Death Cryptids come out. Like don't buy them now unless you really want to win a tournament in the next month.
You mean Spawn or Beast of Nurgle, sorry, Ennis?
Both.
There we go.
They're both going to get the nerf back.
It's okay, I've already got loads, so it's fine.
Just remember, Beast of Nurgle are £27.50 for a 35-point model.
Yeah, I don't have any of those. It's like the now you understand the met gun problem that Orc players had.
Now I understand why Mikey kept his Plague Toads.
Yeah, now you understand why people were converting met guns.
I didn't. I'd just like you to know.
Instead, you got them for doing whatever.
Yeah, I just worked for 24 hours. So I guess, really, I did pay in some way, which is fun. Falcon 40K in the chat. Big shout out to PewDiePie in the chat. Thanks for being here.
He says,
is this a Derry Girl 40K power hour? Close.
That's very racist.
But I would like to shout out Petey, because Petey put me onto Schitt's Creek, which did end up smashing it at the Emmys this weekend. So I hope he's happy with that. Which is It's a TV show. It's a situational comedy, as they call them. Tom,
is it on Netflix or something?
It is available on maybe Amazon Prime or Now TV. I can't remember.
It's on a streaming service.
If you are able to watch it on Amazon Prime, you can take some of Bezos' money and give it to us by subbing with your Twitch Prime right now.
Thank you so much, everyone, for doing so. Appreciate you loads.
Sell out.
Some of us in this chat have a Twitch Prime but aren't using it over here.
I don't know who that is.
I couldn't possibly work it out.
I just subscribed. Back off.
Oh, it's on Netflix. It's on Netflix, so it's fine. Aggressive blocking. We've talked about spawn. We've talked also about cultists. Are there any other units that you might see in an aggressive blocking role out of the Chaos Space Marine book?
You don't need to block if they're already dead and you threw 40 Corn Berserkers at them. Just remember that as an option as well.
Yeah, true. That is always good.
What about the lowly rhino? Dear to my heart.
Rhinos are great right now, and you should probably be running two. They're good for holding whatever you want. Rhinos are great.
Yeah.
Nothing more needs to be said. They're good at blocking stuff.
Yeah, it's mobile terrain. It's a nice big box. It blocks that. It'll block that shape between two buildings pretty nicely. Yeah, it's pretty tough. 10 wounds. Pretty fast as well. 12-inch movement. And you just use them to, once your Corn Berserkers get out and get ripped in somewhere else, then it's just like a free blob of stuff to just move around and be annoying.
Just watch that your opponent doesn't player place their ruins too close together that a Rhino can't get through in the new missions. Mm. Watch out for that.
Yeah.
We're not going to take our terrain to events, but we're certainly going to take a Rhino, which basically is the same thing.
It basically is. I think Rhinos are good. I think that they do, like, the vehicles and those transports are always going to be solid, which is what we talked about at the start, right? Like, you know, if you're wasting time, well, not wasting time, you're going to be killing the threats, which means you don't kill the transports, and now the transports are going to be blocking off areas aboard and scoring objectives. And two Rhinos can take up a considerable space, right?
Hmm. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Okay. So I think, good shout on the Rhino. So what about defensive blocking? I'm going to stand on an objective and I am going to project power that way, or mainly hold objectives. Also, big shout out to Team Ireland in the chat. Thanks for being here. Big up. But they're all in the same house on their one computer, watching it together.
who's running the treadmill to make sure they can all watch?
Well, I think it's whoever loses to the Harlequins that week, I think, is the
everybody.
Everybody. So defensive blocking, what can hold on to those objectives? I played against Nick's horrific noise marines that were toughness 5, and it was like 20 of them, and they had that 3 up classic armor save. Like, that was not fun to try and chew through, which I didn't, spoiler alert. What else can you think of for holding objectives?
So my first pick for this is actually the Dark Disciples that come with the Dark Apostle, because they're a separate unit and they can't be targeted even with like indirect fire, snipers, nothing like that, as long as they're next to the Dark Apostle. So as long as you screen the Dark Apostle, they can't die, which is great, because then that means that objective is 100% yours. And they also hold your back.
It's proper shithousery, dude.
It's great. They're like 10 points, and they just say, this objective is mine as long as this character's here. You should definitely use them. They're very good, and they make you cast on a 2+, so that's worth it for its size.
So the Dark Apostle?
The Dark Disciples that come with the Dark Apostle.
Right.
Are like the best objective
points in the game.
Yeah, they're so good.
Just two dudes in rags.
As long as they're stood next to the Dark Apostle, who is himself a character and can be protected by a wall and some other things, they can't be shot. Doesn't matter, like, unless they're the closest, and nothing's getting close to them, because they're in your backfield, right? So you can't shoot them with basilisks, you can't shoot them with eliminators, Vindicare can't see them. They're John Cena. They're stood there, completely invisible. That objective is yours. You can't, call them John, you can't shoot Cena. You off. Absolutely.
Love it.
That's not fun for anyone.
It is for the Chaos player. Like, come on, man. They're already playing Chaos. You're not going to kick them while they're down.
I don't want to kick them at all. I want to support them and lift them up. Okay. Well, I mean, that's a good one. That's hard to beat. Tom, can you beat an untargetable unit on the field?
I mean, if you Red Corsairs and Marines into the back of that, I mean, they'll probably die, but that's not the point. It's the effort that counts.
Exactly. If you spend 4 CP to kill my 10 points, like, I'll take that.
Value town, boys. We got loads of CP in this game now.
Okay. All right. Nick, have you got any objective holders?
Well, Chaos Space Marines still have access to Plague Marines. They're just in the Elite section. So you could have, like, a Rhino with 10 Plague Marines in just to sit on an objective. So they've got to pop the Rhino first, and then you've got to chew through 10 Plague Marines.
Which is never fun.
No.
I believe Red Corsairs or Renegades is the only way to get fast Plague Marines, because they can advance and charge with flails and that, which is actually quite funny.
Yeah.
I don't think it crosses the threshold into, like, good, because they're not OBSEC, but it is funny that you can just have a flail missile with warp time.
Yeah, I have tried that in one of my Chaos games with Red Corsairs, but I didn't really utilize them when in charge, because I just used them to sit on an objective rather than throw at somebody.
Oh yes, the best Chaos Space Marine unit, Warham Sandwiches, summoned Nurglings.
True.
You're not wrong, it's just defeating the point.
Okay, so they're good. And nothing else to hold objectives? How are we putting stuff on objectives, primaries then? Are we just running with Chaos Marines? Are we just running across the board and smashing everything? And therefore...
Yeah, you just like leave a trail of characters and empty rhinos as you cross the board. It's pretty much... Like, once your Berserkers get there, that's your objective now. Okay. Our Noise Marines are good at... Like, 5-man Noise Marines or 10-man Noise Marines with Blastmasters are pretty good holding objectives because they're not easy to trade back with. If you're trying to kill them with, like, your chaff units, they'll shoot on death and kill you back, probably. And then they're decent in combat. They've got 2 attacks each, which is 3 with Shock Assault. And then they've got a bit of range down through from the Blastmasters at 36-inch range to just make sure you can't ignore them either. So Noise Marines, specifically in Emperor's Children, where they get objectives secured, are another great option. And Cultists, 10-man Cultist squads, 60 points, sure, but it's still your cheapest troop choice. You got a lot of options, and you're going to need troops anyway. So,
yeah, okay. I just picture it a lot like the space shuttle now, where they just keep like dropping off parts of like their like rockets as they keep going further and further forward.
Yeah,
Jeffers and the Rhino.
You send 4 rhinos forwards, and then the first rhino stays on one objective. The next, because he died, and then like the one Corn Berserker from the squad that's left in that one hides on the second, and then all the characters are on the third, and then you're in their army for the rest of them. And that's fine. That's how you win games.
Perfect. See, I'm
feel like Chaos are utilizing that old saying, the best offense. No, the best defense is a good offense.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. All right. So not into blocking. All right. So before we move on from blocking, we've talked about defensive. We've talked about aggressive. Any of those that you think units that we've not talked about right now, or are they all in?
I think we've covered most of them, I feel like.
Okay, all right. So then next one is I'm going to go for character suppression, because it's really interesting when we did the Orc review and also Necrons.
Oh, this is going to be great.
There isn't much to do any character suppression. Nick, what units would you use to suppress them characters emotionally?
Well, I believe there's like an Alpha Legion Warlord trait where you can you can give a... well, you probably want to give it best a Chaos Lord who can target characters. I think that's about it, really. There's a couple of spells that Chaos have access to that can target characters.
Yeah, Nicholas has taken all my points.
I mean, if there's a point.
There are two things you can do. There is psychic powers. So I believe Infernal Gaze is the only one that Chaos Space Marines have access to, which is 3 dice every 4 plus a mortal wound to a target character.
Shitty smite.
Once you bring in like Thousand Suns and stuff like that, you get more options, so you can submit a character that way. And then there is an Alpha Legion Warlord trait called Headhunter, which lets you target characters or ignore Lookout Sir now. So you put that on a Terminator Lord, who is Slaanesh, and you give him a Combi Melta or a Combi Plasma or a regular bolt gun with a relic, and then he can fire like 2 plasma shots, double tap for another 2 plasma shots, plus 4 bolter shots if you want them, which is 8 with double tap. Melta shots, or you can give him a relic, which is rapid fire 2, strength 5, minus 3, 2 damage, Stormbolter, effectively. So that's another option. And then that double tap, so you get 8 shots to try and kill characters. That's it. That's all Chaos Space Marines have. There's nothing else.
Can I ask a specific question? Because this isn't necessarily character killing, but it does shut down variability in some ways. So I remember back when the Apothecary was big for Space Marines, right, with a 5 plus vulnerable save, I saw quite a few people using Night Lords to shut down aura effects. Is that still a thing you can do?
It is, but because the detachment axis is so much harder now, you can't just like add an air wing with a couple of hell drakes to do it aggressively. It's really hard because night lords kind of suck. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, but it's like one trick in the book in the thing, right?
Well, their other trick was warp talons, and they went up like a criminal amount of points.
Yeah.
So there just isn't really good options for character suppression.
Yeah.
And also, Iron Hands aren't really that good a list anymore, so you don't have to worry about it too much.
No. It's just like plugging in like a random black heart detachment to give effect, right? It's the same thing.
Yeah, but it's like you've got to bring Heldrakes instead of a squad of Kabbalah warriors.
Yeah.
So there's some suggestions in the chat specifically. Jump Lord with a murder sword, Warham Sandwiches is suggesting. And also the Jackvin.
Warham Sandwiches is trying to sabotage people.
Yeah.
Well, personally.
Imagine letting your opponent kill you with that.
Personally, I'm really into anything called a Jump Lord with a murder sword. It works really well. Yeah. Like, that might now be my new dating profile. The Jump Lord with the murder sword.
You can kill them in combat. I'm not sure you're killing them. That's not suppressing them. Like, you're not actually saying, let's stop that character doing anything. You're just saying, I'm just going to go kill something. It happens to be a character. Like, you know, I mean, that's not...
That is actually, that's a key element of character suppression in some ways, is just deleting them, I guess, if you get the opportunity to do so. Like, I always suggest, and I know Chaos have got access to some flyers, but I, like, my suggestion always with Orcs, for instance, is the WAS bomb. Like, flyers can get to places, like, very quickly. People, I mean, you can screen out flyers, but screening out flyers can be genuinely quite hard. I don't think the Helldrake will take out... Well, it might take out a Batline character, but...
With the Baleflamer and, like, the attacks and Demon Forge, if you get into a character with a Helldrake, you will probably kill it. It's just getting to it when you don't have great ways to open it up in shooting. But you've got stuff like Red Butcher Terminators can punch through a layer of things to get to a character, but you've got to open that layer up because it's so much harder to charge a character now if it's inside, if it's wrapped in another unit, because you've got to open the wrap before the combat. You can't just fight through it anymore because you can't declare it on the initial charge unless you can get to it. So there are very... It's quite difficult for Chaos to do it in combat now unless you have a very mixed arms force, which is generally going to reduce your combat output.
I really enjoyed this review. The Chaos Space Marine version, as Yes Meatballs is saying, is like, have you considered just punching the shit out of it? Is the general consensus of this book. This should be the strap line for this book.
That's just the normal Twitch chat.
Yeah. I mean, have you considered punching it really hard with like Core Berserkers or Red Butchers, which are just Terminator Core Berserkers, or shooting it with Noise Marines? That's kind of it. That's the Chaos Codex. Play World Eaters or play Emperor's Children. If you're trying to do anything else, probably just don't for a bit. Wait until the new book. Right. But if you want to play those two, you'll probably have fun.
I would like to do a show where we just strapline all the codexes in real, just one-line taglines. That's a good one. I'm into that. The other suggestion we had here was the Alpha Legion Disco Lord sniping with the autocannon.
Oh, yes. Because yeah, two shots at strength 7 is exactly what I consider character sniping.
Okay. Hey, AP minus one in this. Don't forget you'll knock it down with a 3+ or a 4+ armor.
You know, the little admec snipers that aren't allowed to move that you take for like 10 points in two squads when you don't have anything left, right? Yeah. That's your linchpin sniper.
Yeah, but these ones hit on twos in this. Come on.
Also, the admec ones are strength 8. I'd like everyone to know. They're
strength 8.
I'm sure they're worse. All right. Yeah. Okay.
They also do mortals on sixes and aren't attached to something that wants to be advancing to actually be in combat.
Yeah, and I think they're also AP3. Just saying, like they're pretty good. They're at least AP2.
Yeah. So what you're saying is the autocannon that would take a warlord trick to do this is worse than my generic troop squad in admec. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And no one even takes them anyway.
Let's not call that a linchpin sniper unit, then.
Okay. All right. So character suppression is fairly weak as well in this army. Okay. Yeah,
character suppression is not great.
Although, I will be straight after this, Warham Sandwiches, if you would like to message me all the details of Murder Lord
It's a one damage power sword replacement happens to be 85 and does mortals against one specific character you choose before the game.
I don't think you understand how it works. How it works is, you've got a catchy name, you've got me by the balls. Like, I'm in.
Well, there's also, like, the Rapacious Talons Jump Lord, which is quite good. That gets, like, d6 extra attacks at strength, decent, and rerolls wounds. He's quite good at killing things if you can jump him in. And with Emperor's Children options, you can actually hit charges into characters. So maybe look at that instead of Murder Sword. It's just a worse relic.
Okay. All right, so...
Cooler name, though.
Yeah, way cooler name. So then,
the Murder Talons. Then just change the name. Just use them mechanically as they are. Yeah, just say, these are the Murder Talons.
Yeah, but Lord and Sword rhymes, so like they really got it. Chaos Lord with a Murder Sword. That worked.
We're also missing out like half the name of the talons. They're like demon weapons, so they have specific names for each talon. It's very sad.
Oh,
and anyone who knows it deserves bullying.
I like the names. The names are the best bit. I like it when you say the names instead of what they do. Like, you name the psychic power instead of what its ability is. It's just like, I'm casting this, and they're like, oh, what? I didn't want that. Anyway, so we've talked about some of those. Character suppression, which it seems like the book doesn't do great. So then countercharging is another key piece. So countercharge or counterpunch units, something charges into your lines. I think Gulliman's a good example of that, obviously, all the time. Or maybe even Gazgul or...
More of a Khalgar thing, I think, specifically right now.
Yeah, Khalgar. So like something that charges into your gunny line and you want to punch it away, but isn't necessarily fast or aggressive enough that it's going to like run across the board and punch their stuff, if that makes... Sometimes taken is also a support character as well. So have you guys got any examples of good counterpunches in the list?
I feel like Demon Princes are okay because they're gonna, if you do take any long range shooting like a Contemptor Dreadnought or a Scorpius or another tank or something that's shooting your backfield and you want your Vivo Ones aura, Demon Prince is there for that, but he's also there as like a counterpunch because they're fairly decent in combat. They don't last an awful long time if they can be targeted and get shot at, but they can be pretty decent in combat.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, and they're fairly quick if you want to move them further up the field, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Innis, Tom, any thoughts?
So most Chaos Space Marine characters are pretty good in combat just by virtue of being Space Marines, right? In a Space Marine armor, you enter system, you count a bunch. You get things like characters. Noise Marines aren't bad in combat. They've got some stratagem options for it. Anything can kind of be counterpunched in Space Marines if it's infantry or Chaos Space Marines with Veterans of the Long War for +1 to wound. But if you're looking at sort of specifically things that can't do other things, if you're running like the Demon Engines gun line, you'll see stuff like Defilers, which are quite good in combat. But they don't want to run across the board because they've got a decent bit of shooting. But if something comes to them, they're very capable of beating it back. Obliterators do have like strength 6 D3 damage in combat, so they can punch things away from them as well. And then, yeah, you're just looking at things like if you're running Abaddon to buff up a bunch of cultists, he will kill whatever he touches. He's very good at that. He's fallen a little bit out of favor, but he does the same very much job as like Golem or Khalgar would do. So definitely an option for that as well.
I think what's nice about some of the like marine support pieces that we see that you're talking about there, for instance, like if your weird boy, like if someone charges your orc line and your weird boy's there or your big mech, you're like, well, you guys are just doing nothing like to help me out. But some of those support pieces that you see for Chaos or for Imperium are also solid, like the Iron Sand characters as well. They'll get in a fight, like they'll do something, like arguably up to very good stuff. Which is, so those support pieces that end up being counterpunches, I guess, are quite key, but that their main role isn't really counterpunching, I guess. Like I imagine Gazgul is, because he's really there for that.
Yeah, it feels like it's just one of those things that happens when you play a mixed arms army, that your characters come with a baseline expectation of being good in combat just because you're playing Chaos, especially against Imperium, where you get Death of the False Emperor for the Exploding Sixes.
Yep.
You have a lot of options for just punching slightly above your weight more than you should because it's baked into your cost. A generic sorcerer is still going to get 4 attacks in combat, hitting on 3s, exploding 6s. You might kill a couple of Space Marines more than they're expecting you to, which if that's part of their offensive pressure, and you've just traded half their squad for a character that was going to die anyway, you're definitely not complaining about it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Nick, you got anything to add? Counterpunches? I've charged... I tell you what, one of the things that I found to be like counterpunch-y, but it isn't really locked into a single character, is when I charge. Mm-hmm. I've charged Nick's Chaos Marines quite a lot, and he's got quite a few psychers, and it just smited a Smash Captain out from the back lines. I've tended to find that that's been some psychic counterpunch, right?
I think, but generally when I've done that in our games, it's because I've had some like a Thousand Suns detachment in there as well,
right?
Like. Chaos Sorcerers are okay, but they don't get anywhere near the bonuses like Thousand Suns get. And like Innes said earlier, Chaos Space Marines only really have one spell that can target characters. Well, actually, I think they do actually have two. So there is...
But there's Gift of Chaos as well, yeah.
Yeah, Gift of
but
Chaos.
It's like 6-inch range, unless you're Thousand Suns with the +6. It's very limited. It's a great spell, though, if you can get a range for it, because it's roll above their toughness, do 3+D3 mortal wounds. So against like dark characters...
And if they die, you get a spawn.
Which you have to pay reinforcement points for.
Oh, sad face.
Yeah.
Sad face.
So it's generally not worth it. But if you get, it's like a 4+ to kill a guard character, which isn't the worst option in the world.
Yeah, I mean, but how's that card character getting over to your lines? I guess is the real question.
He's move in.
Move, yeah. That guy's like really aggressively holding that objective off you, and you really want him gone, so you spend a CP to change into the power instead of just smiting him.
Tempestus Deep Strike, right? He's just deep striking in your face.
Yeah, just warp time your sorcerer directly forward, advance him twice, and then try to Gift of Chaos the guy out of the middle of the block.
Make sure you have 1,000 Suns as well for that extra range.
Yeah. Okay, so there's no dedicated, or they're doing is a dual role. So what support characters does the Chaos Space Marine book have, or what do we loads? Is this where they're at?
This is their best, I think this is hands down their best trait, and I think they do it better than almost anything else in Chaos right now, even Thousand Suns, because of Word Bearers. single-handedly are carrying the Space Marine Codex in for Elephants and Soup.
Okay. Tell, expand as to why.
So there is a stratagem that I'm sure most people know about by now, but it's 1 CP. After you have failed to cast a power, it casts. You take a mortal wound, it can't be denied. It is the most glorious stratagem to have ever existed for warp time, because it just says warp time is happening. I've either cast it or you can't stop it.
So can you do it if you successfully cast it?
No. So if you successfully cast it, you can't do it. So you do still need to worry about denies in that case. But generally, you're casting at plus one because of the relic that you would take, which is plus one to cast and no one extra power for Warbearers. So you're generally hard to deny because they need to beat your roll by two to deny it. Or if you failed it, they just can't stop it straight up. It's so good.
It's kind of win-win in that scenario, yeah.
Yeah, it's either really hard to stop unless it's like Magnus or somebody denying it, in which case you're just going to stay out of 24 if you can. Or it goes off and you can't stop it with Magnus, you can't stop it with the Dark Angels Warlord trait that automatically denies a power, you are getting warp time off.
Okay.
It is the single best thing in the faction, I think.
And it's because and because of that, it's so critical. So the whole book, as we've already discussed, tagline is punch stuff in the face to win games. It's super important that key support piece has got like a very difficult. It's difficult for an opponent to deal with that support piece.
Yeah. And sometimes impossible.
Can I ask a quick question, by the way?
Yeah.
So one thing we often don't get to talk about are terrain pieces. And I'm not saying this is good, but I wanted to ask a question. Mm-hmm. Innes, last year at Six Nations, I played against two Noxilith Crowns. Are they still good?
No. They weren't good last year either. You just got tricked.
We never played with it. We didn't think it was good either. That's why we didn't run it.
Yeah,
it's just not when good. We played at Six Nations, we played against the Netherlands and we played against Denmark, and I played against Noxilith Crowns in both rounds.
Well, the Netherlands were slightly misusing theirs, to my knowledge. They were playing
just slightly. Died turn one against me.
they were playing the horrors wrong in that list. So I think they were slightly compounding a couple of things that shouldn't have worked. Mm. So not touching that. It was experimental with because the Noxilith Crown gives a 6-inch aura of 5 from vulnerable save for Chaos units and reroll cast for Chaos Psychers, which increases by 3 inches every round until turn 3, where it caps at 12 inches. Mm. But it's a targetable thing in an army that generally doesn't run many vehicles, which means that it just tends to catch all of your opponent's anti-tank firepower turn 1 and never really does anything. So it's not normally worth the paper it's printed on. You can try it. But with the new fortification deployment rules, especially requiring it to be 3 inches from other terrain pieces, you're just not going to be able to get onto a board in a relevant position.
Mm-hmm. And if it would like Six Nations, a lot of the time it is basically just like an official practice weekend, right? So people are often testing things, but I just feel confident talking about it now because obviously we are out of ATC cycle, so I can just talk about it.
A year and an addition on, yeah.
We're okay, yeah.
We are at least 2 years.
But normally, like, I don't talk about what's at Six Nations.
We're about at least two years away from any like competitive gaming internationally, I think, unfortunately. But we'll come back to that at some point and we'll see.
It's okay. Everything's outdated, so we can just talk about everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
I did want to touch on a couple of other really good Chaos support pieces.
Yeah,
the Master Possessions has incredible aura buffs. The 4 per vulnerable save for Demon Legion units within helps you get possessed to 4 ups, obliterates to 4 ups. They've also got a reroll once to hit and wound power, which is just incredible. Not a lot of people, like, there's not a lot of ways to get power that high just generically on a demon unit or any unit. That getting on a second power that's not even that hard to cast is very good. Exalted Champions are a full reroll to wound in combat bubble, which is almost unheard of. And
yeah, that's my favorite character, I think, because other factions have to like either get, like Eldar need a psychic power to get that. Ultramarines used to have Gulliman for that, obviously that's changed now, but Chaos get it first, like 75 points
for stand there and you get it.
Yeah,
obviously the core changes though, right?
Genuinely really good.
He's quite easy to kill though, because he's only like toughness 4 wounds and 3 up save,
you just have to make him not a priority target, right? Because you can stand, if you stand 60 Khorne Berserkers in front of him, they've got to kill those first. You're not worrying about the guy giving him reroll wounds, you're worried about them. And then you've got things like Abaddon, who has fallen out of favor, but he is still a full morale immunity bubble for all Heretic Astartes units. So if Zangor were popular in Thousand Suns, if Cult of Spam resurfaced in any way, he is very much a key part of that. And he also gives you free CP, which is just really nice. Okay. And he's a beatstick himself. So I think Chaos's support characters are really powerful. You have a lot of really cool options, even Lord Discordants. They're still fast, but they also have a plus one to hit bubble for all demon engines. So things like Forge Fiends and Defilers go to hitting on threes. They're not taking move or fire penalty anymore. You can definitely build a list around that, especially if they get some more options with their book.
Yeah, Serbia did last year. They built one around like Maul of Fiends, Forge Fiends, Venom Thropes, and Lord Discordants. It wasn't very good, but it was a thing.
But it'd be better now when they're not taking move or fire penalty.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Chaos have some best-in-class support buffs. They're just, their individual units aren't quite at the power level. Once Khorne Berserkers go to two wounds, you're going to see them a lot. And be ready for that.
Yeah, Nikos already is.
Mm.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Yeah, super hype. How many Khorne Berserkers do you have, Nick? Like
I think I've got 22 currently, but because I've recently changed my Khorne Berserkers to using Blood Warriors for Major Sigmar, so I've got like 22 of them ready to go.
I think me and my friend have a shared Chaos collection, and we have about 120 between us.
Wow.
Like borrowing things, by
the way.
You
guys are way more ready than me.
It's a shared collection. It's not borrowing.
It counts as borrowing. I'm not having that.
So the book, really, Chaos Space Marine, is actually a book of buffs coming from the support characters over the individual standout units, which are plug and play.
Yeah, pretty much. Chaos has always been an army that thrives on its, or always in 8th and 9th edition, been an army that thrives on its synergy. It doesn't really do great standalone stuff. But once you start adding all the combos together, it feels like getting like a combo deck off in a card game where you just start stacking all of these buffs. You can get Noise Marines to exploding fours to hit against Imperium units.
I know.
It's disgusting.
Which is funny against aggressors with the banner, where you're just constantly firing. It's like playing Yunari squared in 7th edition all over again.
Chaos just have so many ways to make themselves tick at a level above and beyond what a unit for its points should be able to do. The issue is reliability, and the units that you're doing it on aren't quite at the level yet for a lot of them. But
also sustainability, right? Like, so being able to fire off Noise Marines twice, I think you can only get it really happening for about two turns. And then
it's like 7 CP to do it from reserve if you want to do it reliably. Yeah, it's not cheap.
Yeah. And then it falls off. So they've got but really the games, or all of the war games, are effectively around those single choices. You go, right, now's the time. Here's all the points spent. Let's roll it out, and then and the reliability in that situation is pretty massive, which is really what you want to be able to choose stuff out. But it's whether or not that's too much resources to achieve that, probably.
It feels like synergy and opportunity cost are the two things you should be focusing on with Chaos Space Marines, is making sure that you have the right things in place that when you get an opportunity to do something, you do it to the critical mass where you overwhelm your opponent's ability to respond, and not doing it if you can't do that and biding your time to get to that point. And it creates really fun playstyles, and I've really enjoyed playing Chaos this edition, or last edition especially. They have a lot of tools that a canny player can use very effectively. They're just slightly below the power curve at the moment, I would say. But it's not even that much. You can still definitely win with them.
Okay. All right. I think that's good. Does anyone think there's anything we've left out? Because I think that's been fantastic. Oh, Shamsiel, thank you for subscribing for 29 months. Oh, get in. Is there anything, does anyone think we left anything out or didn't cover particularly there?
No, I think, I should give a shout out. Mutilators are secretly really good in Emperor's Children, and you should be running them. Ooh, but I'm not going to expand on that. Go and find out for yourself. Because
does anyone want to buy some Mutilators?
They're not bad.
I've got some Mutilators. Would anyone like to buy them?
Why?
Oh, no, are you insider trading?
So at the start of 7th edition, I was running in 6th edition a double Khorne Land Raider list where you take two Land Raiders, park a bunch of Chaos Space Marines in them with extra close combat weapons and stick them into the middle of a board because Tau was everywhere and they only had strength 7 weapons, so they physically couldn't touch your Land Raiders. So when we switched over to 7th edition and you could put anything in the Land Raiders, I just filled them with Nurglings, and then I wanted to keep using my Chaos Lords, so I took some Mutilators as glorified bodyguards that would then run off and get Linebreaker as soon as you deep struck.
I'm really glad I didn't know you back then, because that sounds disgusting, and I'm glad. I wish you hadn't brought it up.
There you go.
It's okay. Tom's a hobbyist now.
Mutilators basically fill that role where they're slightly too hard to kill with shooting if you deep strike them out of line of sight, because they're 2-up armor save, toughness 4 or 5, it doesn't really matter, and 3 wounds. And then you're not going to really kill them in combat unless you send something dedicated, and they'll hit you back pretty hard. So they're great at picking up secondaries like Engage on all fronts, and they're great at grabbing things like Linebreaker. And then in things like Emperor's Children, especially, where you can auto-hit that 6 from charge to get them in, they can actually go in and mess up something on an objective pretty reliably. And I think people are slightly underrating them.
feels like Emperor's Children have got most of the buffs that you're going to want in that situation. Like, well, that's
play Emperor's Children is
it's
generally
like
why I've
had Chaos a reason for typing. I want to play Emperor's Children on Twitter.
Yeah, I just think they've just got loads of cool little toolbox tricks with all the stratagems and stuff.
Things like combat drugs with plus one toughness. The sixes to wound AP minus three actually helps noise minions do damage in combat because they have a squad of 20 is like 61 attacks in combat. That's like decent. If you have them, if you give them explode like sixes to wound and exploding fives against Imperium, that's good. Mm. Their damage output's great. They have so much reliability for hitting charges, and hitting charges is how you make sure you trade objectives instead of just clearing them, and that gives you so much ability to get ahead on primary. I played a bunch of Emperor's Children at the end of last edition, and they were super fun, super reliable, and like they have all the tools that you'll want to like sort of abuse your opponents in ways that make you feel really smart and then feel really dumb, which I quite like.
Also, the emotional impact of telling someone you're shooting twice is horrific.
The emotional impact, like you're going to say, your Terminator's dropped down and you go, okay, I'm going to shoot you twice and then I'm guaranteed making this charge. Is like, that's not fun. Your opponent's got to sit there and think, right, what have I got that can take 40 plasma shots and then get charged by 10 chain fists?
400 termagants.
Yeah. Okay. That's 2,000 points. So I'll take that trade for my 350 point unit.
T-Man cashing in the chat. Go on, Nick. Sorry, after you.
I was going to say, I've got a question for Innes. My obsession with what units. So, what secondaries are you generally taking in the minute? And are you taking any specific units to achieve those objectives?
So, in Chaos, I would be looking at Wabi Sanwi Fight because you're going to have three characters that are your most expensive units. And you're going to need them on turn 4 and 5 to win the game anyway. So you should probably just be protecting them as it is. If you've got things like Bile, then you can protect him. Terminator Sorcerers shouldn't be dying. Engaging off front is super easy if you're running things like 10-man cultist squads and spawn, single spawn. You can jump around the board with those and grab pretty reliable secondaries. And then I feel like every army at the moment should just be adapting for their third secondary, unless you have something that's super easy, like Psychic Ritual for like the Lord of Change. So you want to leave that opportunity for saying, if my opponent's got something that I can really punish, like they're running 15 vehicles, you'll just take bring it down. If you're playing Mission 33, where you get to pick an objective, and if in your deployment zone, and if you stand on it, you get 3 points, just take that, you're going to get 15 points. So I like having that flexibility to pick a bunch of different third secondaries. There's not really anything that's super easy that you don't have to interact with, other than maybe Psychic Ritual or Pierce the Veil, which are just too difficult for Chaos Space Marines to do. So I wouldn't bank on having a third secondary guaranteed. But yeah, while we stand, we fight, and engaging on fronts are super good for Chaos.
Mm. Okay. Nice.
Yeah, that's really good. And I guess a question, Innes, I know you've probably answered this on other shows, but generally how the transition between 8th and 9th, and I know we're in a weird place where 9th is out, but it's also not out, and we're waiting for new codexes, but how do you feel about the game in comparison to 8th?
I'm really enjoying it. I played a bunch of 9th of 8th edition ITC at the end, and the missions were getting really samey, so it was nice to have that switch up. I feel like the missions are getting... I've played about 30 or 40 games of 9th edition now. They're kind of starting to blur together because they are quite similar. Mm-hmm. But the first turn bias that people are talking about feels a little overblown. The secondaries aren't as bad as people think about if you build towards them, but you are seeing the same ones all the time. I think once we start seeing like army-specific secondaries and armies actually getting realized for 9th edition and Space Marines hopefully getting toned down a little bit, we will see what the game is really meant to look like. But as it stands, I think we've got a great framework here. I'm enjoying it enough to keep playing about it and keeping doing all these podcasts, so I can't really complain too much. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I can't wait to be playing more games. As you may know, I've personally been very quite busy. But we were already arranging some games the other day, which is very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Like I'm looking at my different 40k armies and being like, oh my god, it's time to get the ball rolling. But also, it feels a bit weird because it's like, I'm going to try and avoid learning anything that's not going to just be out in a new codex like very, very soon. Because it feels like I'm just pumping knowledge into my head for no reason, which I don't like to do even when there is a reason. So when there's no reason, I'm even less inclined to put...
I refuse to learn things.
To quote one of my friends a long time ago, he said, books are lame. And so it's terrible to read. No, it's not. It's fine. Is there any other questions we've got for Innes? Tom? Nick?
Mm. What other army? What other? So apart from Chaos, you've been playing anything else?
I've been playing a bunch of White Scars just because I know my collection's about to become irrelevant with the new Codex, so I want to just get that last, squeeze that last drop of juice out of them before they disappear. Yeah. But I don't think I'll be playing them again long term. And I've been
Why do you think they're going to disappear?
Because all the new stuff's going to come out, and I'm refusing to buy any of it until I know what's good in like 6 months. Mm. So I'm just going to stop playing them for a bit, so I don't have to think about it. So I've been playing a bunch of Death Guard and Demons at the moment, and then I've been experimenting with my 50 Ripper Tyranid list, which just sucks the fun out of the game, and that makes me happy.
That sounds like it's fun.
Is that what you want, Tom? You want the fun sucked out of the game?
I mean, they already did that by making every game exactly the same.
Don't you love being a hobbyist now, though?
I mean, I'm enjoying writing army lists. It doesn't mean I enjoy writing good army lists.
I think you should only
put in some Cyclops demolition.
You'll love the games when all your
put in some shitty other stuff.
I thought Tom liked playing 40k, where you didn't have to like actively engage with the game. So like you played knights. So you would love Oops All Rippers. You really would.
Mate, the reason just stand I played knights was because when I'm stood at the table, I can pick them up without having to bend over.
Why is that relevant?
It means that I don't have to like ache my back. I can just stand up straight and just like.
Tom, you're like 14. How can this possibly be a problem?
I'm older than you.
Yeah, I know. I'm about 12.
We'll get Tom's hobby mojo back at some point. Look, he's writing lists. We're doing it, everyone. We're getting Tom writing lists. Then we're going to get him playing games.
He's got a really cool-looking Customs army. Maybe he'll play that while they're still broken.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to play a broken version. I'm just going to play the version with the flaming biker captain with 9 wounds, a 3+ invulnerable save, and a free reroll.
And is he also halving damage because he's Aquiline and Shield?
Where's that come from?
It's one of the shield hosts that they got, Aquiline and Shield, gives you a warlord trait that halves damage.
Which book is that in?
It's in War of the Spider.
Thank you.
How many books are there? Is it not a Forge World like subsidiary beta?
I might have to find some more command points from somewhere. Does that require any command points in it?
It's a warlord trait, so no.
Wait, what? There's -1 to hit, there's 5+ feel no pain.
No. You want to go to the Psychic Awakening for Custodes.
That is the Psychic Awakening, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's their Codex.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, they've got sub-faction rules now.
Tom, if you want to drop me a message to talk about Imperium later, like, do it. But I am suffering on your behalf right now.
I am. We have already handshaken the knowledge that I know nothing about the actual rules. I just read my list, do the thing, and then either the thing works or the thing doesn't, let's be honest.
Yeah, I remember our practice game at LGT last year. You didn't like so much play as talk at me really fast.
I think that you were, and then I popped a barrier and then I ran some knights at you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Nick, just for Avian in the chat, Nick is currently, his camera is not working, but it's because he's secretly...
Put a screenshot up for you instead.
Yeah, he's tunneling into Games Workshop. Well,
I found the name generator.
I thought he was like the. I thought that was just his face.
That's how he looks. That's how he looks.
Yeah, that's just a picture from earlier when Rob was tufting all over me.
Oh my god, I love tufting. Tufting's my new thing. When you're a hobbyist, you tuft. That's what you do.
It's tough to be a hobbyist these days.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Lamal.
Right. Well, Innes, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, and it would be great to have you on again. But we can hear you on. Is the podcast tour got like a poster? Is there like a poster?
No, I just.
It is a t-shirt.
Yeah.
No. The best place to find me is like in the dark hole where your podcast messages you at 2 a.m. with the you up message. I'm that guy that goes on those podcasts. No, the best place to find me is Twitter. That's Innes A. Wilson. And I post all my random crap there. But I don't have anything that's like mine to post on. But I could definitely do up a tour shirt for all the podcasts I've been on. That might be a project for tomorrow.
I'd wear one. I want you to know that.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I would. Nick, Tom, and Innes, have you guys got any plans this week for 40k? Question mark.
Not this week, no.
No, but I have some other plans for a different game, which will be revealed at some point, I'd imagine.
Oh my god, Lord of the Rings!
I'm going to paint a bunch of stuff because I got 4 days off from work, so that'll be my plan. It's painting,
getting stuff ready for when you can eventually play again.
Yeah, well, we're in no contact for 3 weeks, so in 3 weeks' time I'll get back to some games. But for the time being, it's just painting and wishing I was playing.
It will eventually. There will be, let's quote Gandalf at this point, but there will be, you know,
first light of the fifth day.
Look, yeah. This too shall pass.
Yeah, exactly. It shall pass, exactly. Nick, so you're not doing any this week?
None this week. Probably next Wednesday I'll play another game.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm going to rebase my Harlequins.
With more lava bases, yeah?
No, not more lava bases. But I did put them on like horrific bases when I took them to a tournament last year, because I got the army ready in like a week. So I thought that they at least deserve some nicer bases. And then I might be able to go back to them and like make them look a little bit fancier, which would be nice, because I've heard that they're okay. So I might try and play with them.
Quins are fantastic right now. Yeah, they're probably top five armies, which is brilliant.
I think they're really strong.
So Ruri says, I don't want to be that guy, but he'd like to get a bit of quarantine in Sweden if it possible, so he can get some time to hobby.
No.
Well, I have the joy of being a key worker, so I don't even get, when quarantine happened, I didn't even get the quarantine. I worked through it. So, yeah, you know, same. It would be lovely to get a bit of furlough this time around.
Same. Right. Same. I don't know anyone in the other Swargamer who actually got time off. Apart from Scrivo, he absolutely got some time off. And he's really good at League of Legends Scrivo. Now. I know, right? How dare he? Well, it's been a pleasure having everyone on. Nick, it's obviously always a pleasure, even when we can't see you.
Thank you for having me on, Rob.
Tom, it's wonderful having you on the show, even though we can see you.
Fine. I didn't really have anything this week. I just asked questions.
That's all you need to do. Aren't you a podcast interviewer now?
I don't know any of the rules.
You don't need to. You're a hobby guy.
Yep. Mikos is the competitive guy now.
Yeah, well,
retired finally to go play Farming Simulator esports.
£100,000,
more money than 40k.
£100,000 to be a Farming Simulator esports professional. It's nuts. Okay, wow. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Definitely picked the wrong game.
So much. Thank you to everyone who's watched us live. Thank you to everyone that's watching on Patreon, and of course, thank you to our hydro homies on the podcast. Please stay hydrated. Thank you to Twitch chat, Neil, Yes Meatball, Circon, Tristan. Thanks for being here and checking us out.
I've got a quick YouTube shout out, is that all right?
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you now. Who's your YouTube shout out?
Shout out to Patrick Fisher, who really enjoyed last week's show.
Oh, big shout out.
A nice
to Patrick.
YouTube comment.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Innes, you got any shout outs you want to make?
No one's earned one.
Good. That's perfect. Tom?
No.
Go on, Tom.
This is normal.
Come on, Tom. No, just not... one guy.
Go on.
Gozzy.
Okay, that'll do.
There it is.
That'll do. All right, everyone. Look, stay healthy. Stay. Look after yourselves. Drink loads of water. Always look after the keywords.